One of the things that I just love about our Reformed faith is how strongly we believe that the Scriptures are the Word of God. This is one of those faith beliefs that I will not compromise, that the Scriptures are God-inspired. They are who we are. The Bible is who I am. But at the same time, in our faith tradition, we're a studied people. We dig and dig into the Scriptures. We ask questions of the Scriptures. And every so often, we get to argue with the Scriptures. And that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to take on James. And you will be the referee and judges. So in this corner, we have Pastor Steve, once known as Bulldog, because I'm the most stubborn person alive. I am a master of divinity. 59 hours of postgraduate work in theology and Bible. I've been preaching for nearly 30 years. And in this corner, we have James, known throughout history as James the Just, James the younger brother of Jesus. Yes, the little brother of Jesus, son of Mary. He begins life, though, as a Christian believer and as a Christian non-believer by getting knocked out. And he gets knocked out by our Lord. In Mark chapter 3, we meet James and Jude and Joseph and the brothers and sisters of Jesus. And this is early in Jesus' ministry, and he's preaching and he's teaching in Nazareth, and his brother and his mother and his sisters come, and they're trying to get at him. We got to get to him. He's just acting crazy. Mark tells us James and the other siblings are trying to restrain him. He has gone out of his mind. And then Jesus knocks him out. He says, "Who are my brothers and sisters? Those who do the word of God and act on it." So James is opposed to Jesus' earthly ministry, his claim to be Messiah. You can hear James rant, "Get a hold of yourself. You are a carpenter. You are not son of God." Now imagine, just imagine, your brother or sister comes to you and says, "I'm the second person of the Holy Trinity." Right, exactly. And that's what James is feeling at this point. But after death and resurrection, the epistles and Acts tells us James and his mother and his brothers and his sisters believe in Jesus Christ. The resurrected Jesus appears specifically to James. James and his mother Mary and the family were in the upper room on day of Pentecost, and they received the fiery gift of the Holy Spirit that day. Acts tells us that James was the pastor of the early church, of the church in Jerusalem. Paul calls him one of the pillars, one of the granite cornerstones of the church. James' opinion, along with the Apostle Peter's, paved the way for Paul's ministry to the Gentiles and Christianity for people of every race and tongue. He is James the Just. In the mid-60s, James was killed, martyred, for standing up for the faith and the people of God he so served. From the earliest days of the church, believers have held that the letter of James was authored by this same James, James the Just, James the brother of Jesus. James is a Hall of Famer, but he's not undefeated. The book of James was one of the last to be accepted into the Bible, into the canon of the New Testament. It took till about the 3rd century for the church to really to come to grips with the book of James. Also, Martin Luther, during the Reformation, considered James, the book of James, inferior. In fact, Luther went so far as to say, "I would be happy to throw Jimmy into the fireplace." Yeah, wow. But the church, the reformers, and centuries since have upheld the book of James as God's word. Luther's biggest problem with the book of James, this is why we're taking him on today, is that he tries to keep a balance between faith and works. This is our contention with him this morning. Let's go. No sparring. Let's jump into round one. I should have downloaded one of those things that go ding, ding. We go to James chapter 2, verse 14. He writes, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you?" Now, he meant that as a rhetorical question, but I'm going to answer that with perfect confidence. Yes, we are saved by faith alone. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, period, exclamation point. As the church so eloquently affirmed in the Heidelberg Catechism, which I read at the beginning of worship, "I belong body and soul, not to myself, but to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with the cost of his own blood has freed me from sin, completely freed me from the dominion of the devil, and that he protects me so well, not a hair on my head can fall. Everything must fit his purpose for my salvation. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, he assures me of life eternal." Period. Heidelberg goes on to say, "Jesus is the perfect Savior. Through him, we have everything we need for salvation. Life eternal right at the right hand of God the Father. We live in the perfect assurance of life eternal at the right hand of God the Father." That deserves an amen.
Amen.
Amen. Heidelberg also states, and we affirm, "Because I have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ, I," quote, "I owe gratitude to God for this redemption. You and I owe God everlasting gratitude. Our works, our ministries are our thank offering for this faith and this salvation. This gift of faith must make me," quote, "wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him." We pick up verse 15 where James says that's absolutely right. I'm glad he agrees with me. Faith is lived out in real life. Verse 15. "If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill.'" Or as one translation puts it so mockingly, "Goodbye and good luck, keep warm and well fed. "And yet do not supply their bodily needs. What good is that?" So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. When James says faith without works is dead, this is not an eternal life pronouncement. This is not making a commentary on your salvation. You are saved through Jesus Christ by faith alone. But James makes us ask, what good is the perfect gift of salvation if it's not doing any good for anybody but me? What good is your faith in Jesus Christ doing for the people in your life? What good is your faith in Jesus Christ doing for this world around you? The problem comes if I truly believe in Jesus Christ and then don't act on it. That's the problem. This does not revoke my salvation. Sorry. It's gone now. No. I inherit eternal and everlasting life by Jesus Christ, by faith alone in Christ. Yes. But selfish me only faith makes me dead to the rest of the world. Honestly, if I don't live out the word of God, if I don't fan the flame of faith, it can die. I am not feeding my faith and I'm not witnessing to anyone so they can come to faith. Why should you believe because I have faith? Jesus and his little brother demands that we hear the good news and live it out. Let's back up to James 1, 22 through 25. "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any of you are hearers of the word but not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If you're just listening to the word preached, studied, but are not doers of the word, you are fooling yourselves into thinking that you're living out a life in Christ in discipleship. James' message is very hard here. If you look in the mirror and only see yourself, you're not really seeing at all. You're forgetting that Jesus demands that we love God and love each other. When I look in the mirror, I see this gray-haired, stocky guy. And I must also see the pain that others are feeling. I must see the needs in my home. I must see the needs in my family. I must see the needs in my neighborhood, in my country, in my world around me. Now, I'm imagining a scrolling through a special effects, like a movie thing. I'm looking in the mirror, and scrolling through, I see images of places and people where my being a doer of the word can be a blessing. Our ultimate salvation is sought and found in Jesus Christ, absolutely, positively. Know that you are forgiven and loved and saved and be at peace. This is an eternal peace, which gives us then the freedom to not to worry about our ultimate future. The belief in this eternal, beautiful future is a peace that no matter what circumstances in my life, no matter what beats me down, no matter what is hurting me, that can't be ever taken from me. I can't even get rid of it, because we have been gifted with this eternal faith, this eternal salvation. We are saved by grace alone in Jesus Christ. We know we can never be imprisoned or enslaved or ensnared by the powers of evil or death or the devil. This frees us to be doers of the word despite what's going on in our lives. Our lives are hard, and we can still be doers of the word no matter what's going on in them. James pointedly asks you, what good is faith if it doesn't have real life action? What good is faith if it doesn't have real life action? Do something with your faith. Now again, I'm going to go toe-to-toe with James. Ultimately, I don't like being told what to do by anybody. I get my back up. You tell me what to do, even if it makes perfect sense, even if it's what I should be doing. Yeah? Really? No. I push back hard when I'm told what to do. In fact, one of the problems Luther has with James is that he is a bossy pants. Holy cow. There's 108 verses in the book of James. And in those 108 verses, 60 times he gives his congregation instructions. He's instructing them, telling them what to do every two verses. What gives James the chops, the authority, the credibility to tell me that my faith is as good as dead if I don't do something with it? He's the brother of Jesus. That's pretty good. But kidding aside, more so, he's a pastor. He has a pastor's heart. He wanted the best for the people. He wanted the best for his people. He wanted the best for the people that were around them. To hear and act on faith brings others to faith. And he lived that out all the way to death, like his brother. Greater love hath no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. James worked and worked and worked. That gives him the chops. We can live in freedom of the blessed assurance that we have eternal life. Absolutely. Also, being doers of the word also affirms that we are Christian, we are Christ followers, and we live into Christ's command to love one another as he has loved us. So, okay, Carla, how about the slide? So, like Cap and Iron Man squaring off, armor versus shield. That's the way James and I started out this week. We did. We were at each other. Then Cap and Iron Man, then in the end, stood shoulder to shoulder. Okay, next one. There we go. And that's where we are. We are shoulder to shoulder with each other, with James, the Bible, our faith, and our Lord Jesus Christ. We stand together as doers of the word. Some of you are doing headline stuff. Headline stuff. Others of us are just plugging along. Others are mostly at home, and we are doing by praying. We are doing by financing ministry. Faith is our blessed assurance of life eternal. Faith is our lived out actions as our thank offering for this salvation. Faith is the lived out actions that work and feed our faith and serve our part of the world. Faith is the lived out actions that we work to make others, to help others believe. Not to make others believe, but to help them believe. Only Christ can make them believe. Faith is lived out action that we are side by side with some pretty awesome ministers and faith-filled people. You all are awesome. Faith is lived out action, living into Christ's demand that we lay down our life, that we serve our friends.